In the penumbra of our understanding lies life's greatest mystery. What happens after death? Do we journey on, or do we fade into oblivion? Civilizations have pondered, science has probed, yet the veil remains. As we stand at the edge of knowledge, gazing into the beyond, death's enigma endures, beckoning us to unravel the unknown nestled in the shadowy confines of existence.
Wow! Welcome to the first official episode of Rick's Horror Labs. I am your host, Rick. And today, we're taking a different turn. But before I keep going, and before I even begin saying anything, allow me, and before my producers start barking in my ears, allow me to mention our socials. You can find Rick's Horror at Rick's Horror on the Instagram, on the Facebook, on the TikTok, and of course on the Facebook. I already said the Facebook. On the YouTubes, but the Facebook is for the old. But before I go on, allow me to introduce to you the official lab partner of Rick's Horror Labs Is It Haunted episode, Billy the AI.
What are we doing? Are we doing a lab experiment today or something?
Sort of. Today we're doing a very different thing.
I mean, not too different, right? Because clearly I'm here and you're here and you're using like all the same sound effects. And I mean, that new science music is pretty cool. What am I doing?
Well, what we're going to be doing is we're going to, well, why don't we just explain things? Let's jump right into the show format. If you're familiar with the Rick's Horror Review Show, this will be very familiar to you. We have changed things up, obviously. It's still pretty familiar. Anyway, I'm going to give you some context. Then we'll get into four fun horror science facts with Billy the AI. Then we are going to propose a hypothesis here at Rick's Horror Labs. I'm going to show you the tools that we will be using to prove or disprove this hypothesis. And there's a mosquito in here. Not very conductive of science. Then we'll have the items in question. And then we're going to science the shit out of some items. How's that sound to you, Billy?
Oh, man, that sounds kind of fun. Shall we just get it done?
Let's get it done indeed. Okay, so let me give you some context. In the shadowy corners of what we understand, the concept of theory takes on an aura or mystery in our everyday language. A theory is often just a guess or a hunch. But in the realm of science, it's so much more. It's a well-tested explanation fortified by evidence and capable of predicting the unknown. So where does our ghost hunting gadget fit into this? When we brandish tools like this portable EMF meter or an EMF probe or an oscilloscope, which is this bad boy right here, or maybe even a thermal camera, which is this view here, we aren't wielding them under the banner of any scientific theory per se, or scientific theory of ghosts, because simply put, what can I say? Simply put, the paranormal hasn't been captured and cataloged by the rigorous methods of science, scientific principles from the laws of electromagnetism to the rules of heat and energy. It just simply has not been done. However, these instruments are our mediators between the seen and the unseen. They allow us to see things that our eyes and ears and other, you know, primitive human sensors simply cannot. And that's a little bit of context. If you don't understand what the hell's going on, give me some time. But first, let's go into four fun horror science facts with Billy the AI. Billy, please.
Let's do this. This is kind of fun. The horror and science, that's an interesting combination.
I know, right?
Okay. The first horror science fact is the fear frequency. Scientists have identified a specific sound frequency that is particularly unsettling to humans, known as infrasound. These low-frequency sounds can't be heard, but they can be felt and can be linked to feelings of anxiety, extreme sorrow, chills down your spine, all that good stuff. Now, infrasound frequencies under 20 hertz are often used in horror films to create an atmosphere of discomfort and fear, even though the audience isn't even consciously aware of the sound.
Wow. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I knew about this.
Ah, okay. Well, I mean, that's a good one. Okay, what about this one? The Capgras delusion. This terrifying psychological condition causes sufferers to believe that someone they know or recognize has been replaced by an imposter or maybe even a double. Now, this delusion is often explored in horror stories, tapping into a deep-seated fear of losing our sense of reality and the terror familiar of people turning into strangers before our eyes.
People are strange when you're alone.
Okay, all right. Don't stop busting into song already. We just started this episode.
When you're strange, faces come out of the rain.
All right, all right. Anyway, the next one is the corpse flower. The Titan arum or corpse flower is a rare plant that blooms to emit an odor similar to that of a decaying body. Now, this natural phenomenon inspires horror tales that feature plants or natural elements with a dark and unsettling side. The flower's appearance and smell are evolutionary adaptations to attract pollinators such as flies and beetles. But in horror, it symbolizes the thin line between life and death.
Wow, like one of these.
Ah, thank you. Okay, last fun film fact. I should say, last fun horror science fact.
You got it.
When we watch scary movies, by the way, do you like scary movies? What's your favorite scary movie?
By the way, that's my 1,000-pound sister's look. If you're only listening to this, you should really be checking out. I'm doing things with my hand again.
Ah, Lord, stop it. Let me finish this. Anyway, mirror neurons and horror films. When we watch scary movies, the fear and empathy we feel are partly due to mirror neurons in our brain. Have you ever heard of mirror neurons?
No, I have never heard of these things. These are really fun science horror facts.
Yeah, so these neurons fire both when we perform an action and when we observe someone else performing an action, allowing us to experience others' emotions vicariously. You ever think to yourself, why is that stupid girl falling down again, man? Come on.
All the time. Whenever I watch a stupid slasher, I can't stand them. That's the reason why. Like, oh.
Yeah, well, maybe those are your mirror neurons firing, because when we observe someone else performing an action, it allows us to experience others' emotions vicariously. Now, this neural mimicry is why we might feel a heart race during a suspenseful scene or jump when a character is scared, even though we are safe. This empathetic connection heightens the horror experience, making it more intense and personal. And this has been 4 Fun Science Horror Facts with Billy Day. And now back to you, Rick.
Wow. I was not expecting such fun horror facts. Okay, allow us to continue with the format of this show. Next up is hypotheses. Okay, so what kind of a horror science lab would be? The doc would be rolling in its grave if we didn't have a hypothesis. Okay, so as we embark, and we'll see how many episodes we make of this. But anyway, Rick's Horror Lives, is it haunted? We are guided by a central hypothesis that drives our investigations into the unknown, I would say. And that hypothesis is: reported paranormal activities within specific locations or surrounding certain objects can produce detectable changes in the electromagnetic field and temperature variations, which can be measured, should be able to be measured, using scientific instruments, much in the same one that we have before us. I presented to you, this is a simple
thermometer, laser points thermometer. You can see that's pointing at me, and I hope that the camera can capture that temperature. This camera here, that's me. We also have a heat sensing camera, and where you see that reticle, this, oh, having a hard time. That is not measuring the temperature of my hand. And look how cool I am distributing heat on my mat. As you can see, the inanimate object, we'll get into more of that in a little bit. But anyway, that's the hypothesis. We'll be using some scientific instruments. This is a probe for the oscilloscope that sits here. The oscilloscope is an essential tool of electrical engineers like myself. But because we have access to one, such a device, and because I can measure electromagnetic frequencies using an ENC probe, I figured, you know what, we have access to these scientific instruments, these legitimate tools of science. Why not attempt to... let's put them to play and use, I shouldn't say attempting to use in a scientific fashion, but grounded in scientific principle. Anyway, this hypothesis operates under a few underlying assumptions based on scientific principles, and the anecdotal reports often associated with hauntings. Electromagnetic anomalies are part of the paranormal phenomenon. If they exist, they may be able to interact with the environment in ways that alter normal electromagnetic fields. We will be using our EMC probe with our oscilloscope in a controlled environment, and hopefully, you know, we can measure something that deviates or differentiates from the baseline electromagnetic activity, which you will also be able to see. As I mentioned, we have a camera there, a thermal camera. And one of the things that is often shown in ghost hunting shows is thermal signatures change. The old cold spot. The presence of paranormal entities or activities is often associated with, as I just mentioned, the cold spot. Less frequently, I would say areas of warmth. So warmer than, you know, room temperature. Now, by providing a visual representation of what might be invisible to the naked eye, if they emit coldness or heat, we should be able to see. Okay, so these scientific measurements, by applying rigorous scientific methods to our investigation, including controlled observations and repeatable experiments, we seek to either validate or refute our hypotheses with empirical evidence. Now, this is not science, by the way. I'm using scientific instruments to study something that isn't scientific. I'm not giving any credibility to any of this shit. I'm having some fun here to see if whether or not using our instruments of science, Rick was able to detect ghosts and the electromagnetic spectrum. Well, they're big ghosts. Look at his heat signature. He's hot as hell. No. We'll perform an objective analysis, and while our exploration delves into territories often reserved for storytelling and psychics, our approach remains, again, I can't emphasize this enough, remains grounded in objectivity. We will analyze the data collected without bias, letting the evidence lead our conclusions as a good scientist would do. In Rick's Horror Labs, is it haunted? We don't just chase after shadows, we scrutinize them under the lens of science. Or at the very least, under the lens of scientific instruments. In the name of maybe science? Whether we find some natural explanation for these phenomena or uncover evidence that suggests something more, our goal is to illuminate the truth hidden within the darkness on the unknown, and of course, to provide entertainment. Okay, as I mentioned, now we have the tools. When searching for heat signatures and electromagnetic fields in inanimate objects, which is what we will be doing today, We're essentially looking for any evidence of energy where we typically wouldn't expect to find it. And now here's how I could explain this to you. We're using sophisticated equipment to measure two types of energy. Emissions from objects that should, under normal circumstances, be inert. And as I mentioned already earlier, I have, and let me show you again, I have a thermal camera here. Okay, as you can see, this thermal camera is enough to pick up even, I would say, the faintest warmth emanating from an object. So if there is such a thing as a cold spot, I would be able to see it in an object. Inanimate objects at room temperature don't emit noticeable heat unless they're being influenced by an external source, like maybe some demonic possession. No, by sunlight or machinery. As you can see, look at the color of this mat change as I, a source of heat, create friction on the mat itself by rubbing my hands around it. Simple science. There's heat. And it dissipates as I stop. You can see that that is going away. I can see the temperature as well in C's. Let's see whether or not this object here is radiating. Oh, it's tougher than I thought. Any sort of heat? No, that inanimate object, and you can even clearly see in, by the way, you can see that the colder spots are purple and the warmer spots are yellowish to white. That is me, your humble lab partner, and I am emitting a nice shade of yellow because I'm warm. Look at my hand. I look at what happens when I put my hand in the reticle here. Now it's sensing my own temperature here. Cool. Cool. Okay, so secondly, as we continue, we have our tiny little ENC probe, which I will show you here. Well, I'll show you. Where will I show you? I'll show you here. The tiny, tiny little ENC probe here. And I'll show you over here in this camera too. And now this EMC probe will allow us to use our O-scope. Now this signal here that you're looking at, you will be able to see here. This is the same signal. Now, I have a conventional run-of-the-mill household item that should generate, and watch out for the sound here. Now, what am I doing here? You saw that signal here. Let me give you... I'm gonna give you a scene. Where is my scene? Flare scene. Here we go. So, this is a drill. And what you can see, I am holding my ENC probe. What I'm looking at here in this screen is your lower right hand window. And of course, you've already familiar with the heat map. This drill would eventually start to generate a lot of heat, obviously, the more that it is used. But because it's been sitting here at room temperature, it's probably not going to generate much of anything right now. So there's the drill. What I want to show you is I want you to take heed, take notice of the flat yellow line that is on the right-hand side. Now, I'm using this probe to show you and demonstrate to you what this drill will do. I am going to read variances in the electromagnetic field with my probe. You see, as that motor rotates, that generates noise. The more... Okay, I know that's loud, but the more power I give it, the more or the louder or the higher amplitude we see in the noise that it generates here. Okay, that is what I'm doing there. Like you can see, what I'm going to do here is I turn this knob. Is I'm going to make this instrument a little more sensitive to variances. What this will do is this is going to, in visually, it's going to make these little squigglies look larger for us here in the screen. So as I change again these divisions, you will wind up seeing, no, I'm making them smaller. Here you will see the same amount of noise present itself as larger signals, but they are not. It's the exact same signal, and I'll pause it here so you can see it. Signals are the exact same, and it's just generating noise, but my oscilloscope is very sensitive, and it allows me to see even the tiniest, tiniest of signals. Now, how much noise am I actually generating here? This is almost insignificant. I'm telling you, this is the drill. It generates almost no noise. It's designed to be that way because we don't want, you know, a drill affecting, you know, potentially sensitive instruments that we use to work, okay? But while it does generate noise, we expect the noise, it is not something that is gigantic. When you see these little squiggly lines, it's like, oh my God, look at all that noise. That dumb thing is possessed. It's really not. Here is, each one of these little boxes right now represents 10 millivolts. If you don't know what a millivolt is, that is so much less than what you use to charge your phone. Here is a typical charging voltage for your phone. What this means, now each one of these little squares or divisions represents 5 volts. Look how this will not even, well, you will see some, this drill register a little bit of squigglies here, but almost insignificant. Okay, so you can see that by me changing the sensitivity in my instrument here to 5 millivolts as opposed to 5 volts, I can generate much larger peaks here, okay? But it is not like, this is so insignificant. You can see 5 millivolts there in my instruments, okay? Again, here is 5 volts. No magic. You can see I am just changing the sensitivity of my instrument. So for our testing purposes, I am going to keep this at 5 millivolts. You can see that the, you know, in the closer away, of course, the further away I am from the field or from the source of the electromagnetic interference, the fainter the noise becomes. But as I become real close, or as the motor rotates faster, the noise itself increases. Okay, so this, we will leave it here. Are there other sources of electromagnetic noise? So far, so good, everybody? Billy?
Yeah, you're doing a terrific job. Keep it going.
Oh, okay, thank you. Are there other things that will generate noise? Yes, everything in your house generates noise. It just does. Check this microphone out. This microphone itself, and I am touching the purple cord on my recommendation microphone.
Hi, this is Rick. And check this out. Even this cord generates a tad bit of noise, doesn't it? Look at that. That's because it's normally, it's doing its thing, okay? Now, here's what I'm going to do. You won't be able to see this, and it's not magic, but I am going to, well, actually, you should be able to see if I scoot this over, hopefully. Maybe not. What I am going to do is I am going to utilize, check this out, okay? This standard run-of-the-mill phone charger is also generating noise. You see that? And the further away I am from it, the less noise I see, the closer still, the more noise it generates. The magnetic field, the magnetic interference, actually, I won't talk about that. But it is generating interference in the spectrum here that we're analyzing, okay? Again, though, however, if we change our oscilloscope settings to 5 divisions, you'll see that it is so insignificant that you can't even see it with the naked eye. And that is the importance of these instruments. They allow us to see the unseen. And we're back at 5 millivolts here, okay? So if an item here of the ones I am going to present indeed is generating any sort of noise, my instrument here, how fun that is. My instrument here will be able to show me that. And everything radiates. Even the instrument itself radiates. Like the instrument here, like near the power source here, the power source in the back, it's also emitting, or it's also affecting the frequencies here, okay? So that is going to be it for explanation, I think. The camera is pretty self-explanatory. If it shows up as, you know, something hot, if it's emanating some sort of heat, we'll be able to see it. Okay, cool. Those are the tools. Those are the bare necessities. Billy?
Oh, and by the way, here is the screen in large format. And again, I'm going to go back to the little white box so you can see a nice visual of it in a larger screen. As I am further away, the less you see. And by the way, this is totally a visual episode. If you're only listening, you need to check this out. Okay? So, let me go back to this scene once more. This is going to be the place, and I am going to objectively attempt to place this in the exact same location anytime I am not using it. I am going to stretch it out here and allow it to be near my mouse. And will my mouse generate some noise? It may or may not. But that, I'll keep the probe there, always in the same location. Now, the variables here, that the only things I am not... Well, there are a lot of things I'm not controlling. The things I am controlling, the amount of light, it's always the same light. I am controlling the temperature in this room as well. This is a temperature-controlled room. It is going to be at around 27 degrees. If it stays 27°C, you should not see any great disturbances. Disturbances in the force. I should also not be providing any... any noise myself. I am not wearing any electronic devices. My phone is still in my pocket. I am going to place my phone here. I'm not wearing anything else other than my phone and my lab coat, which will prevent me from interfering with any of the things we're attempting to do. What I am trying to do here is make this as a clean testing environment as I possibly can. There's nothing on this mat. There's nothing underneath it. Not generating anything. Not tricking anybody. Okay, so these are the tools. Now, if I didn't mention the EMC probe, which is this little guy here, this will detect presence of electromagnetic fields, as I just described, and they're usually produced by objects or things that that conduct electricity. Again, I mentioned a tool for the electrical engineer, and now I'm rambling, and I told myself I wasn't going to ramble a lot. Anyway, this will detect presence or variances in the electromagnetic field, okay? So, in essence, if we find heat, or if we found disturbances or signatures, electromagnetic signatures coming from any of the objects that should not be logically producing them, then we have a mystery on our hands, which is interesting. It might mean that there's an unseen source of energy at play, or it could be something as mundane as an overlooked piece of electronics inside the object, which none of the objects I've selected have electronics, okay? Either way, our goal is to uncover the source of emissions, should there be any, okay? So, the items in question, allow me to present to you Rick Horror Review, and I'm going to switch back to this camera. Allow me to present to you the first item. I believe this little doll here. And by the way, why am I choosing these things? I searched for the top 10 possessed items, household items in America. I'd actually searched America. Might be different in other countries. I don't know. It could be. Okay, now this doll was sent in by a loyal and dedicated listener. And Emily here was once lost for an extended period of time. And we don't know what happened. Maybe it got up and walked away. Maybe it can generate some sort of electric fields that allow its little dangling legs to move. It was lost. And if that does not look possessed to you, I don't know what does. Okay, so this will be our first item for review again. So, these are items as told to me by the internet are the top 10 most haunted items in America. The second item is a personal item of mine, and allow me a second while I retrieve it. This is a picture of my very own grandmother, as you can see there. She is no longer with us, but she would totally be on board with this. She had a morbid sense of humor, much in the way that we do. And look at this, the little stand came off.
Interesting.
It broke. That wasn't staged, by the way. Just broke. Okay. Anyway, haunted photos, and I'll put my grandmother over here so she doesn't get angry at me. Haunted, or rather, you know, most possessed or haunted items in a home could be pictures and stuff like that. Okay. Books are also sent. Old books tend to be sources of spectral activity or hauntings themselves. Oh, here we have a couple of books. This book is called Electric Universe. And this book was published a while ago. And I've had this book. I love this book. This inspired a lot of things. Inspired me to become an electrical engineer. And, well, I've had this book for a while. Cool. The next book is a book called The Science of Storytelling. This isn't quite as an old book. This is also mine, and I decided to bring these two books because I think they would be interesting. Okay, let me put the drill away. Put the books over here to the side. Okay, the next items that are tend to be haunted are children's toys. These items were also sent to us by somebody who listened. And look at the shape that these bad boys are in. There's a little one in here. Okay, all right. So they tend to be, they have a tendency to be, I should have been wearing gloves. Okay. So these are the next things, and the next thing, or the last thing I will show you, I have one, two, three, four, the fifth item on the list of items that have been listed to be the most haunted in America, the list of items, is paintings. So I actually commissioned this painting from Spook Clay. You can always see it behind me. It's the Crypt Keeper there. You can see the Crypt Keeper right down there. We will see if this handmade painting by Spook Clay of the Crypt Keeper is himself haunted. All right, so let us begin, and let's not make my grandmother wait. Let's find out. That was pretty crazy how this thing broke. And I know what you're going to be saying out there. Oh, it's a sign. Oh, it's a sign. It is not what we're testing. We are simply using, as I mentioned, our instruments. Grandma? How you doing? Let's see what we can see. Let's start with shop. As you can see, you can clearly see now. Let's do this one big. She is not generating any heat. That purple that you see there must be me either touching the picture, this area here, or it could just be the light that's reflecting off of the glass here. There is glass here. Now watch what happens if I touch the picture. See? Okay, so picture of grandma not generating any heat. Let's see. Oh, there's the dumb fly from earlier. Let's see if we can capture anything on the electromagnetic spectrum using our probe here. And here's the probe. And again, I set this to 5 millivolts. Are we seeing anything other than the usual noise? I don't detect anything. For comparison, once again, here is the charging transformer. Nothing is rigged. I am taking it directly from this device and applying it to the picture. And as much as I was hoping that grandma here gave me a sign, nothing was generating. Okay, well, thank you, grandma. Love you as well. I'll put you over here. We'll get you a nice new frame soon. Nothing. All right, the next item. Let's go on to the painting of the Crypt Keeper. As you can see, why is the probe generating a signal? Yeah, the probe generating a signal because it's underneath the microphone cable. I did not do a good job and did not place the probe back where it should have been placed. There it is. Okay, so heat signature here. I see nothing that could pertain as this device generating or irradiating or be or itself being a heat source. Here I am. Look. What I will do again is I will touch two spots on this, as I did with the picture, and see if it, I'm obviously warming up the picture now, and we'll expect to see some heat there. But it will dissipate as, obviously, entropy does its thing. And now, the picture of the Crypt Keeper is not radiating any heat. Now, is it affecting the electromagnetic spectrum? Let's find out. Here's my probe again. Let's do a quick test to make sure that the probe is working. There it is. Same as we've seen before, the closer I place it, the more noise it generates. The further away that I place it, the less noise it generates. Okay, probing the Crypt Keeper. And Oh, what is that? Whoa. No way.
Something must be going on with my instrument here.
I was bending the cable.
Can I repeat that? Yeah, you don't want to cause a loop in a cable. That's bad. It was bent.
Okay. I gotta tell you, that was an interesting event that I would like to replicate. What was wrong? Can I replicate that? Was it bent like this? Yeah, I think that the probe, and again, that's just my... I must have bent that probe. Let me place this a little closer here. I mean, they look like artifacts to me, honestly. I think I had to look into whether or not paint and wood. Okay. All right. Well, I am going to say that I cannot reproduce the event that occurred earlier, and I think it was just typical, like the old cable is unplugged. It happens in science. I know what you're all thinking. That's possessed. It is not. I don't think so. We're not measuring. Okay. conclusively, I would say... No, sorry. Oh. Back to the back, the creeper goes. And now let's try the books this time around. Again, no heat signature. These are my own books, my own items. No one else has touched these. Well, the Electric Universe book, I'm sure it was touched by somebody a long time ago. The Science of Storytelling, however, I don't think anybody has touched this since it was shipped to me, so. No heat signature. Again, I'll touch two spots on the book. Make a cool triangle here, see if it stays for funsies. Cool. Look at that. But no, they are not radiating or emitting heat. I'll do the same triangle shape here on this book. As the other one begins to cool down. Nothing. Okay. All right. Let us then... Oh, I think this is what happened. It starts to get loopy. Okay, let's make sure that we don't get any loops here. Our test. Further away, and we read something. Or rather, further away, the interference dissipates. The closer we are, the stronger the signal noise is. Okay. Working as expected. Let's perform it on the book. I am not seeing anything. Nothing interesting in this book. Yeah, it's me. Just grab that. Just grab that. Was me. Nothing of interest in this book either. Again, is the source. That's us testing, and now nothing. As I just remember, this is. Here we go. Now we are reproducing. This is what happened. This is what happened earlier when we were doing the critique. I knew we would be able to reproduce it. Look at this loop here. You can see it in the thermal camera even better. That right there is messing with the signal. Okay, it is nowhere near a potentially possessed item. I will now fix that and prevent that from happening again. And we will reproduce this, hopefully this time by doing this again. There it is. Science. We are reproducing the error from earlier. And I think it happens when it touches, when it's bent in this fashion and it touches my Rode Procaster. But we will prevent it from bending like that again so that we don't experience false positives. Nothing going on with the books either. And lastly, but not leastly, the item that is perhaps I thought would be the most likely to potentially be interesting. Emily the doll. And here's Emily the doll as she's holding herself. Is Emily radiating any heat? No, remember, I just grabbed it. That's me. Okay, let me. Yeah. It's not radiating heat. That was me as I touched it. I'll do a better job of holding it from a particular location. Like for this point, there it is. It's dissipating. I'm going to grab the top and you should see some heat now. You can actually start to see as I grab it here and I grab it little legs and I'll flip it on the side. And you can see the heat that I... Okay, so Emily, the little doll itself, is not radiating any heat. There it is again. Now, let's take our probe and do our test. You can see that it's being affected there. The probe is working. Emily still not showing any signs of heat.
No. Uh-oh. We do our best to run our instrument here over Emily. And Emily, thank you for being such a great subject, is not influencing the electromagnetic spectrum. We put our probe back. And I think that's science. Let's put our camera back, and there we are. We're back again. All right. Billy, your thoughts on our conclusions on our investigation, analysis of findings. Let's review any interesting data that may have been collected. Were there any significant readings? How did these readings compare with the baseline measurement? Now, again, this is not real science because I wrote nothing down. And I will need a partner for help. But I wrote nothing down other than what we have recorded. That is the our source of data collection. I will go back and see if anything interesting shows up there. There was an event that, well, I mean, yeah, we're able to reproduce it though, right? I was able to reproduce the event. So I think that really means that it was a false positive. I can probably reproduce that event again if I just bend this cable in the same fashion as I bent it earlier. I did not take note of how that cable was particularly bent, but it was an interesting... Ah, there it is. There it is. So you can't see it in the screen, but I am influencing the cable itself and the probe. When you yank on the probe or when it gets bent out of shape, it causes these shapes.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You know, the false positives are always a part of scientific exploration. And I know you said this is not science, but, you know, you're using scientific instruments. And, yeah, you definitely have some false positives, I think, in my scientific opinion. Okay, so, conclusion. What can we conclude, boys and girls, about today's episode? I'm going to say that... I'm going to say... I found nothing of interest. There was an interesting event earlier when the picture frame thing broke. But I reckon to believe that this is an old frame and an old picture, and that has nothing to do with any paranormal activity per se. And besides, we have no means of measuring how something like that happened other than something just breaking. We weren't measuring for things breaking. Yeah, that was a stand! I wasn't looking for a sign. I'm simply using these two instruments to see whether or not they radiated these two things. They didn't. I am convinced that they are not radiating heat and they are not influencing the electromagnetic spectrum. Anything beyond that is your guess. and whether or not you believe anything about anything on those things. An interesting experience. Okay. The question of the day. Do you believe that inanimate objects can hold energies from their past? And under what conditions does this occur? Do you believe that energy can be stored somehow, some way, in a vessel that is not meant to store energy, unlike a battery, which is meant to store energy? Can an inanimate object that is not designed or built to store energy from the past hold energy, and under what conditions? That is the question of the night, and that's going to be it. That is going to be it for the first episode of Rick's Horror Labs. Is it haunted? Where we reviewed the top five most haunted items in America.
If you're still here watching, that's right, this familiar music for you. We're still Rick's Horror Review. Rick's Horror Review presents Rick's Horror Labs, where we're having a little bit of fun with horror and science. If you're still here, thank you for watching and thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. I've already mentioned our socials. You can find Rick's Horror, Rick's Horror Review, Rick's Horror Labs, at Rick's Horror on the Instagram and on the TikTok and on the YouTubes and on the Facebooks. But don't go to the Facebooks because that's for the olds. Thank you so much for watching and we'll see. Well, I like this. I thought this was fun. It was interesting. We'll see how this turns out. But anyway, we'll catch you again next time on another episode, maybe, maybe not, of Rick's Horror Labs. Bye.